Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the explanation of the parable that our Lord has told us from the Holy Gospel. And the theme this morning, Jesus is the good planter. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, many of you probably love a good old-fashioned mystery, don't you? Mysteries like Perry Mason. Yeah, I'm seeing some deer in a headlight looks right now. You have no idea what Perry Mason is. Shame on you. One of the greatest mysteries of all time. The greatest of shows. How about Mission Impossible? Same look from some of you. Well, let's be more up to date. How about NCIS? Some of you probably like that show. Good old-fashioned mystery. Yet this morning, Jesus is telling us a mystery. Although you already know the end of the story, what you don't know about this mystery is how it will ultimately unfold, or when it will ultimately happen. Our Lord's parables are a mystery to the world, no doubt. Not only are they beyond comprehension of those outside the church, the weeds in the world, if you will, not only can they not understand, but they actually see them as ridiculous or as absurd, as foolishness. To the unbelieving world, God's kingdom has never, ever made sense. And Paul reminds us that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the world. Dear ones, this morning Jesus explains and discusses with us the aspects of his parable that he told that day in Galilee. And you may have noticed that biblical mysteries aren't a whodunit, like NCIS or like Perry Mason. We, his dear children, we believe, trust, and accept that what he tells us is true, though sometimes we fully never understand it. The kingdom of God, of what Jesus is speaking of this morning, is one of these mysteries to the world. And even for some of us, it's still a mystery, because we have not yet seen fully the kingdom of God. Yet, even this morning, you get a brief and veiled glimpse of his kingdom. You hear of his kingdom in the preached word. And on the Sunday morning that you come here, he is present to serve you a heavenly meal. Yes, Jesus is revealing the kingdom of heaven to us. But on that great last day, when we shine like the sun, we will then fully understand, and it will no longer be a mystery. My dear friends, Jesus tells us that he is the planter. He is the one who has planted you into the world. The establishment of his kingdom, therefore, is not the work of men. Jesus has established the kingdom, but the will and the work of God himself has brought the kingdom into this world. It is Jesus who came and gave his life as a ransom for the many. It was Jesus who shed his blood to reconcile the world, to reconcile you to your Father in heaven. It is Jesus who cast the first seeds. He cast the seeds by his word into this dark world. He, the light of the world, shining his light upon this seed and the water of his word, so that the seed would grow and flourish to everlasting life. All of this is God's work. It's not our work. Dear friends, Jesus tells us very clearly this morning, and this should not be a mystery to us, that the good seeds are his children. They are the children of the kingdom. That's you, and that's me. God's word is always effective. His word will bring results. What God sows, what God plants, will definitely grow. It's wonderful that Jesus uses agricultural parables, for we can use the same today. We know that farmers are the most faithful people on earth. Have you ever considered? A farmer will plant the seed into his field, and he loses complete control over it. The seed goes into the ground, and then there's nothing the farmer can do. You cannot make the seed germinate. You cannot water the seeds, every seed in the field, and you definitely cannot make them grow. It is Jesus who has sowed his seed into the world. And by the word, by the proclaimed word, by the proclamation of his gospel, the seed brings results. Yes, what God sows grows. And this word is the good news of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that it is he who has given himself upon the cross to redeem all men. And there is great comfort here, just as there is great comfort for our farmers. For once they plant the seed in faith and in prayer, they know that God will be faithful, that he will send the rains, sometimes a whole lot of it, but he still sends the rains in due season, and the seed will grow, and there will be a harvest. God is always faithful. We know that God is always faithful to you and me. For here in this place, you also hear the word. You hear the word of the Holy Gospel of what Jesus again has done for you. You hear that you have been set free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of death, and from the power of the evil one, the devil. Yes, there is here in this place great comfort for you. Out in the world, it's not that way, and you know it. You know out in the world, there is no comfort. For in this dog-eat world, it's all about me, myself, and I. The unbelieving world wants to promote themselves. They never want to talk about Jesus. Why, that's foolishness to them. They never want to talk about reaping or sowing or anything that has to do with God's word. That's foolishness to them. Yet Jesus gives you work to do in his kingdom. And his work is the proclamation of the gospel that he calls you to do, to go into all the world and teach them everything that he has commanded. We are to be sowing the seed also, dear ones, casting out the gospel of our Lord Jesus, speaking the truth in love, never maliciously, never underhandedly, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help you God. And the proclamation of that gospel, it will produce results. Though you may never see the results, that's true. We must remember the promise of God. God told Isaiah in the 55th chapter, "My word will not return to me void." The seed that you plant, it may be rejected by the unbeliever, and that's actually the rejection of the Holy Spirit. But plant the seed, and then God takes over from there. It is God who waters and germinates and grows. That is what's happened to all of you. You were brought here to the font. You were washed. The seed that was planted in you was watered. And you are here this morning. And in that process of, we know in the church, of sanctification, you are constantly being watered and nourished as you continue to grow and to grow and to grow in the truth of God's word. You see, God's work will succeed. Not even Satan himself can prevent such great work of our God. The field, no doubt, is the world. Unfortunately, many people misconstrue this parable, and they call the world the church. The field is not the church. Jesus clearly tells us that the field is the world. Jesus has begun proclaiming the gospel in the world. How does Jesus proclaim his gospel in the world? Through you and me. Here is a magnificent mission for you and for me. No one is excluded. All of us are called to proclaim the gospel of our Lord. God's will, it is his will that the church be active, that the church be active all over the world. There is to be no part of creation that is to be excluded. Big city, Wilshire, Ohio City, Shum. Even overseas, the world is to be proclaimed. To every corner of the globe, the word is to go forth. It is to be flung out by his disciples. And when that seed lands, it will take root, and it will be watered, and it will grow. But we also know that in this world, there is one who opposes God. The same time that you are proclaiming the gospel, Satan uses his minions, his demons, his children to sow the weeds in the field. You must be aware of the enemy, the deadly, powerful, ever-working enemy, Satan. He does not want any of you. He does not want anyone to be saved. He wants all the seeds to be destroyed. He only wants his seeds to grow. He will ravage the soul of everyone who is confronted with the Word of God. You know this well. Especially after your confirmation, we see the results of this so often. A young lady or a young man is confirmed, and there is a time in their life when they want to live in the world. The seed is still there, but they can want to live in the world and kind of do their own thing. Moms and dads, you know this well. I'm a dad also, and I also know this well. You see, here's the point, dear ones. Satan also uses means. Satan's means to use are other people. And unfortunately, many times those other people are your best friends, your husband, your wife, your neighbor. He will use them to sow his evil seed. He will use them to proclaim to you that all of this stuff in the Bible is nonsense. And why do you want to come to church? You're just wasting an hour of your life. What? Partake of body and blood, of bread and wine? That's senseless. It does nothing for you. Why, Jesus isn't God. He's just a pretty good fellow and maybe even a good teacher. But he's not God. Did God really say? That's how Satan works. Therefore, he is also casting his seed, and those seeds are called weeds. Today, your children saw a picture of them. This is what Darnell is, and that's the word that Matthew used here in this gospel to tell us what the weed is. The weed is Darnell. And as your kids said, they thought it was wheat. And it looks exactly like wheat, but there's one major difference. The seed is the evil seed of blackness. It is of no use. And as a matter of fact, the seed is poisonous. Just like the seeds that Satan sows in this world, they are poison and they will destroy you. His word is a false word. It's a false gospel that will ultimately cast those into the fires of hell along with him. Yes, these seeds grow together. They grow together with the wheat in the world. And you and I, we have no idea who is Darnell and who is good wheat. Although here in this place we know, yet only Jesus knows for sure. But what is God telling us today? What is Jesus telling us? We aren't about to be out there reaping in the world, discerning who's the darnel and who's the wheat. No, Jesus tells us that we have a greater mission. That's the proclamation of his word. We must remember how Satan works. Luther once famously wrote and said, "Where God builds a church, right next door, Satan builds a chapel." You see, we are truly in a spiritual war here. Yet our general is Jesus, and those who will do the work of reaping are his angels, not us. We're the soldiers who proclaim the word. We don't do the reaping, and we don't do the judging. Jesus alone is the judge. Jesus wants us to do the work that he has given us to do, and he wants us to do it with great patience and with great love and great forbearance. Why? Because we are truly unaware of who a true believer is and who is a hypocrite. Dear ones, we live in the world militant, the kingdom militant. Yes, we are at war with the powers of the evil one. We are not yet in the kingdom of triumph. But these words today of Jesus gives us great comfort. For we know that even though we will endure many things in this life, suffering, ridicule, slander, persecution, on the last day you and I will be justified. We will be called the children of God. We are the ones who will shine forever in the kingdom. It is he who will judge. And we know in our hearts that Jesus is our Lord, is our King, and is our Savior. It is his angels who will collect Satan's weeds, and they will cast him into the fiery furnace, as Jesus tells us, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you and I do not need to be concerned with that. For in the kingdom of heaven, where you and I will reside with our Lord forever, there is peace, and there is joy, and there's everlasting life. So, dear ones, be patient. Stand firm. Continue to pray for the coming of the Lord, and continue to do his good work. Proclaim to all what Jesus has done for you, and rest assured that all your sin is forgiven, and you are his dear child. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.